Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The shortest theme song gives way to the greatest of all Patriots pods. That's right. Your old pals, Fitzy and Hart, coming back at you once again with a classic type of early week six rings in football things here brought to you by your friends at WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. It's at Jumbo Heart. It's at Fitzy GFY. And it's you, the good people of Patriots Nation, here with just a classic. We just got a lot of Patriot things to discuss today, folks. We've got mock drafts. We've got tweets that were accidentally liked. We've got announcements of camp dates. We've got PFF stats sure to enrage Andy Hart. We've got tweets that shouldn't have been liked. We've got trades, trade back options, and so much more. Andy, but I would like to begin today real quick off the top. You, just before we get to recording today, you put out a tweet that I thought was quite interesting indeed, not only just for the gumption you had to tweet this, but also the responses to the tweet and the replies. You tweeted it, 45 minutes prior to us recording here, Tuesday morning, March 19th, 2024. Hashtag Patriots fans, how do you currently feel about the Kraft family's leadership in New England? People's options were better, worse, same as in the past, or please reply if different or otherwise. Now, mind you, everybody, this comes on the heels of some of the negative reaction to the Dynasty docuseries, which premiered its final two episodes last Friday, episodes 9 and 10. 9 being largely about the difficulties in the locker room with social justice, the Trump episode, Super Bowl 52 and Super Bowl 53 and the finale of everything, Brady and Belichick, a more triumphant finale, episode 10. Plus also Gerard Mayo as head coach, the quote, weaponizing of the offense and free agency and so much more. And Andy, to date, with almost 1,000 replies in less than an hour, better is only at 4%. Worse is at 65%, and same as in the past is at 31%. And now the replies, we got some, despite everything, I still have faith in Robert and Jonathan. I've got worse. I don't blame Bill for everything. It's not always his entire fault. Seems like they're following the Red Sox game plan. And here's one, a regular replier to all things we post in our listener. I'm actually losing faith in the fan base. The rebuild started in 2020, went nowhere, so Bill was relieved of his duties. Good. Now people want a complete 180 before we've played a game, before the effing draft, because they lost Ridley, a number two receiver who would be overpaid. So still, Patriots fans, the one thing that's the most constant I see of all this, Andy, Pats fans are still an absolute mess. Like, We are a complete, for lack of better phrasing, dollar in the swear jar this early, Fitzy. We're a shit show. We have been ever since Tom Brady, through COVID and beyond. We almost came out of it in 2021. But then, of course, following the bye and then the Pats getting their balls handed to them in Buffalo in January, and ever since then have been a complete mess. We're all over the place, and I think this survey proves that point perfectly.
And I think I would go to the very simple phrase that life is hard. Well, NFL life is even harder probably than real world life. It just is. And like, I never thought the Krafts were the perfect owners or Belichick was the perfect coach. Brady was close to the perfect quarterback, but when you had those, you still had issues and scandals and little brush fires to put out along the way, whether we've seen them, didn't see them, dynasty, whatever. And now you're seeing that when you don't have the quarterback and when you're trying to figure out if you have a coach, like owning an NFL team, even for good owners. And if I were voting in my own poll, I would vote same as I ever felt or whatever the hell my third option was, because I think the Krafts are very much capable of making the right decisions, doing the right things and guiding the ship in the right direction. But much like the ship behind me, there will be rough seas and you got to figure it out. And they're also capable of screwing up, of making mistakes, just like I think everyone is. Who's the best owner in the NFL? Like, if I just said that to you sort of off the cuff, I think it's probably like second tier quarterbacks. It ebbs and flows with the talent they have, the coach they have, and the success they have on the field, right? Like, ooh, the Rooneys are great owners. Oh, I don't know if they are. Ooh, Jeffrey Lurie's good. Boy, did his team fall apart last year under his guidance.
What about the people may say the Hunt family, because Kansas City has been the goal. Yeah, that's a crazy thing. Everybody hates these guys. Yeah.
So I don't know who the best owner is. And I think, again, when we rank quarterbacks, we always say, like, you have Mahomes, Burrow, like, there's four or five that you know are Rodgers. When they're healthy, they're at the top of the league. And then 6 through 12 rotate in and out based on the year, the situation, luck, whatever it may be. I feel like ownership, you don't have the top five. Everybody's just in that next tier where, based on circumstances, you'll look good, you'll look bad, you'll rise, you'll fall. And right now, the reality is, and I did this poll with some, I wouldn't use names, but I polled probably a half dozen media members who've covered the Patriots for decades. And they all agreed that even going back to post-Parcells, pre-Belichick, whatever you want to do it, this is probably the lowest approval rating or lowest confidence level in the Krafts in the entirety of their tenure. And that's okay, right? Like, it was going to come. It was going to be due because there was going to be challenges. So I do find it interesting, 65% worse.
That's 2/3 of all respondents within the first hour of all the diehards and the grizzled Foxborough faithful that follow you, or even the ones that are just having this thrown in front of them because the algorithm figured, like, this is something Patriots related you might want to see. And I'll say my feeling is the same too. You know, for anything that perhaps for however much Robert Kraft may be slowing down and Jonathan may be spiraling up to take his place, I think ownership in their capacity to run a competent professional football team remains the same. Robert Kraft spent a lot of time, and this is, I think, a significant fear of Pats fans, and one I'm not quite as on board with yet, but I can see why this would be festering for them, is that one of the things that bothered people during the dynasty nothing bothered people during the dynasty, aside from people trying to take away draft picks and tell us that how jealous they were of the success the Patriots enjoyed and we as fans bathed in for 20 years. It was not reality. It was a dynasty. But in the dynasty docuseries, people think that Robert Kraft was too concerned with rewriting history or painting himself in a more favorable light, some revisionist historianism and whitewashing of how things went, and that optics played too much of a part in just trying to tell a story from certain people's perspectives. And if now optics once again is a primary concern, that's going to bother people because they just want to see good football. That's it. They don't care how it's presented. They don't care the color of the people playing the games, coaching the team, running the organization, where they came from, how they graduated. They don't care about pronouns, genders, nothing. It is all love and all acceptance. We just want good football. That's it. That's the only thing I think all Patriots fans care about, is just give us a fun football team. Back to the Andy Hart principle, entertain me. And if you're going to be concerned about money and making sure this looks right, and what are people saying about us, then it's going to be a mess and it's going to become some big corporate cluster F. And it's a shame because you don't have Tom Brady, like you mentioned. You don't. What Tom Kraft said his greatest skill or greatest accomplishment in his professional life was keeping Belichick and Brady together for 20 years. Tom Brady's greatest skill, aside from just being the invincible competitor who, with his last gasp, would somehow find a way to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat on a regular basis. It's sort of like, you know, you were saying, like, the things are kind of messy. And Brady's skill was like, man, every time I come over to your house, it always just looks like it's being staged, like for sale on Zillow or something. Brady just made everything look, because he was the cleaner, because he was the healer, because he was the Flex Seal, right? But all that stuff gets tucked away somewhere. And now you don't have somebody that knows how to, like, sort and clean everything to make the house always look good. And the mess and the gaps and the cracks and everything else is starting to show. Who's going to come in and help clean up the mess next, Andy?
Drake May.
You think so?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But I agree with you. Like, I always go back to the question from Gladiator. Are you not entertained? If I put that poll out right now to Patriots fans, I think it might be 100% or not entertained. Is there a single Patriots fan who's been entertained by the last year? Anything? Like, I don't know. So
yeah, one day when Tom Brady ran out in his daughter's Patriots jersey and said, let's effing go in the end zone. That's about it. Last season sucked. So there are so many other 4-12 teams in history, 2-14 teams, that I can guarantee you if we sat down and just did a rewatch of all the games, we'd probably say, like, oh, this is way more entertaining than last year's Patriots team. Way more entertaining. Like, it's nothing's been entertaining about this at all. And that's the big fix that they need.
And I would include in that the transition of power went a weird way because of, and I still blame Mike Vrabel for getting fired for this. I think the transition of power would have been more popular and palatable if Mike Vrabel weren't available. And then the burn some cash, weaponize offseason. Like, they set themselves up for failure. They created an expectation and a thirst. They people were ready. I think people had the old TO popcorn. Like, they were, ooh, free agency starting, got my popcorn, let's go. Hey, did they change the time of the week of the date of when free agency starts? Because my popcorn's starting to get stale and I haven't been able to eat any yet because you haven't made me excited.
Say, this is Sione Takitaki. Oh, it says right here that he is the best coverage linebacker last season. Awesome. I'm not going to sit through, I'm not going to sit in 37 degree weather so I can see Sione Takitaki break up an 8-yard out route because he read the route. You know, and even last night on Keefe's show, we were talking about who stars, you know, people that you'd care about. And, you know, Keefe was saying, like, yeah, Christian Gonzalez may soon be a star. Because he saw, he went to a store in the mall with the kids and he saw 3 Patriots jerseys for sale. Mac Jones at 75% discount. Ooh. I think there was also Ramondre Stevenson and Matthew Judon. And I'm surprised there were even 3 Pats jerseys for sale. And of course, one of them now is at such a steep discount. He was given away for a 6-round draft pick, just told go away. He's like, oh, Gonzo could be for sale too. But I'm going to get into this later when we go through some mock drafts. And I'm curious if you, how you feel about this. The lack of star power on this team is super concerning. Like, it's not like you have to be a winning football team and you need to be entertaining as well. But, like, I'm not going as a Patriots fan to watch Christian Gonzalez alone play cornerback. Like, I need more than that. And this team.
You can't. Like, I mean, the offense can, if he's the greatest, let's just dive all in. He's the greatest cornerback in the history of the game. Yeah, so I'm not going to throw over there. So I'll just, he'll be doing nothing on one little piece of the field where he'll take away a receiver, right? Like, there's no, like, he doesn't control his opportunity to make plays and create excitement within the ball game. And then all the other people that are supposedly stars, Barmore, Stevenson, they're not under contract after this year. They might all be gone after this year. And now I'm not saying they will be, because the one thing it looks like this regime is going to do is re-sign players. So that may be a possibility. If you ask me a jersey to buy, and this is a little snarky, but it's also a little true, I'd get the deal on the Mac Jones jersey and figure out how I turn it into May and hope that they take Drake May. And I mean, I got the E. That's all I got. I got to figure M-A-Y. Yeah, I don't know. I got to figure it out. But that's what I would do.
There's a very good chance your Garoppolo jersey had Jones pasted over it. So now just paste May over it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right, let's get into these mock drafts as well, because while I and I'm sure many people in Pats Nation have intense mock draft fatigue, they still continue to whirl and swirl, and the people that are putting them out now are the ones we should probably listen to, because they're the folks that hear the things. Although, then again, every now and again, one of your directors of scouting may accidentally like a tweet where it says that Minnesota Vikings are going to send a package that the Patriots can't resist to trade out of three, so they can take Drake May. In a point of interest to the audience, the Vikings could potentially be interested in Drake May. So Bucky Brooks said to Daniel Jeremiah the other day on a podcast, because Josh McCown, the quarterback's coach now for the Minnesota Vikings, Andy?
I believe so, yes.
Yes, coached Drake May when he was in high school. So they have a connection there, and I'm sure McCown is banging the drum telling Coach Kevin O'Connell, he formerly obviously of the New England Patriots and the Jets, he's probably telling him, get this guy, this kid's a stud. But will the Patriots back out of three? People like Albert Breer and more are saying, hell no, the Pats are staying at three. So Andy, they stay at three. Give me the mock draft that caught your eye the most, or the one that you think is the most engaging in recent post.
Well, I'll give you two, because okay. I think they're interesting in that they stick with the status quo in a way, but acknowledge a different route. And that in within the last 24 hours, two big guns, I'd say, probably two of the biggest guns, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, and Mel Kiper, the godfather of the entire mock draft process, put out their latest mocks. In the Daniel Jeremiah one, he goes with Jaden Daniels, which I think a lot of people now have accepted. No, Jaden Daniels is going two to the Commanders, but whatever. He goes with Jaden Daniels. He has Drake May going to the Redskins. Excuse me, Commanders. Can't say that.
Found
an old PFW cover that, in light of the name change in Washington, looks borderline inappropriate and racist. So we'll stick away from those. Yeah. Stuff happened. Sorry, it was a different era.
Not our fault.
My great Grammy Hart used to say things that you're not allowed to say now, too. She grew up in a different era. We move on. We live. We learn.
We live. We learn.
Anyway, so the Jaden Daniels one is from Jeremiah, who is on the record of late as saying Patriots are just going to, I think he almost used the word stuck at three. They're taking a quarterback. Their entire plan this offseason was similar to Mass Live: sign a veteran bridge guy, Jacoby Brissett, and then draft the quarterback of the future. Almost nothing is going to move them off their spot. So he goes with Jaden Daniels. Mel Kiper goes with Drake May, but in his little write-up says, I feel a lot less sure of this, or something to that. Like, I think opening the door to, quote, a bevy of picks would move them off this spot, and they might trade down with a team like the Vikings. That's the popular one, because you could get the 11th pick, the 23rd pick, and a first-round pick next year. So I found it interesting that Jeremiah seems all in on their staying put, standing pat, if you will, pun intended, taking a quarterback. Kuiper still has him taking a quarterback, but he's less secure in that prediction, and he's kind of opening the door for them trading out of that. And I love one idea. I hate the other. I love the stay put idea. One of these guys could be a franchise quarterback. I firmly believe that. I love Drake May. I want Drake May. I would accept Jaden Daniels. If you trade down Fitzgerald, it's the same question I've asked. To what end? Who's my quarterback? When do I get a quarterback? How do I get a quarterback?
Okay. Well, it's very interesting that you posit such, because in once again, looking at the draft order for 2024, the Minnesota is going to have a secret meeting, or rather not so secret meeting. Can't be a secret if you tell everybody, but they're going to have a, it's funny
we're
how that works.
A secret meeting.
Hey, none of you are invited to our secret meeting. Yeah. But now we know about it. Okay. So our not so secret meeting, you're still not invited. It's private. Got it. Okay. Now I know how those words work. Minnesota is going to have a private workout with JJ McCarthy. So I think they're trying to figure out if JJ McCarthy is worth trading up for. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do the same for Drake May, in which maybe they would make said Godfather offer that Cameron Williams, director of scouting for the Patriots, accidentally liked a tweet over. And then this happened on Monday night, the 18th of March. And then he quickly unliked it after it blew up on Twitter last night. It was like 1 hour where everyone was like, what the hell is this guy doing liking this? Was this a lazy thumb, or was this a, ooh, I probably shouldn't have let everybody know that we're aware that Minnesota is going to be coming for pick three. So the Giants, if they want JJ McCarthy, they may have to try to trade up unless they feel like the Patriots aren't moving off, which could make things interesting. The team I would want to trade with in the first round might not actually be Minnesota, but rather the Giants, because, and here, now I'll sort of unveil my plan here. Going back to the whole, we are in a sad deficit of stardom in Foxborough. I feel like if the Patriots stay at three, I'm almost as inclined to take the person I know is a guaranteed star and is going to be a high floor, high ceiling player for years to come. So that's why at three, I would consider taking Marvin Harrison Jr. And then I would trade back into the tail end of the first round with my second overall pick. I like Michael Penix, and I've liked him for a while, and I know it's unpopular. I can't handle people telling me I'm an idiot for liking Bo Nix anymore. That's fine. I'm off the Nix train. I like Michael Penix. And if I think he's got an arm, I think he could actually be a really solid quarterback. I think that for some reason, I'm actually confused by the Penix slander, or rather the Penix doubt, beyond the fact that he had the injury concerns earlier in his collegiate career. I just don't know if apparently he's very impressive in the room. You love the swag. You love the cockiness, Andy. He seems like he's got a lot of the it factors, and he's a big physical body. And, you know, last week on the Dan Patrick Show, he read aloud a text he got from an NFL scout and longtime talent evaluator who remained anonymous and said, this is the time of year people are overthinking these things. The Patriots should just sit at three and take Drake May. This kid's a stud. I'm just concerned that if they miss, now you have no star receiver. You have no other stars on the team. And fans are just going to be like, can I have somebody to watch, please? Is there anything interesting about this team? So that's why I've gone stud receiver, grab a quarterback, and see if you can actually try to hit the lottery by nailing two first round picks this year.
So, A, I hate the plan because I'm a
so I hate your plan. It sucks.
So first, I hate it because you know where I am. If you don't have the quarterback, the rest doesn't matter. I actually think it might be worse because it'll add specificity to your frustrations, because you have a receiver that no one can get the ball to. Like, he's just this wasted opportunity.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett is not he's not an amputee, for God's sakes. I mean, like, he can actually throw. He's not a great long-term solution. And I'm not saying I'm not saying Marvin Harrison Jr. comes in and turns into 1998 Randy Moss, and all of a sudden Jacoby Brissett is Randall Cunningham reincarnate and the Pats are going 15-1. Damn you, Gary Anderson. But, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure Brissett can even find a way to get the ball to a 6'4" guy that can run like a 4.3 as a gazelle and has perfect hands.
I don't want to besmirch Jacoby Brissett because I like him, but he's not a very good quarterback. Like, he just isn't.
Then why do they have him?
Because he's perfect for the position he's going to be in, which is
Human Shield.
Well, no, fill the void until the young guy is ready, and do that with no drama, no issues, no egos, no questions about the room and the development.
Then just have him be a coach and let freaking Bailey Zappi throw the ball. If Zappi can throw the ball better than Brissett.
No, because Zappi wants to play. That's the issue. Is Jacoby Brissett, I believe, was hired and paid to not play whenever they tell him not to play, like, and to be able to do that as a true professional and embrace it and accept it in a way that is beneficial to the young guy, the entire team, to just, he's manipulating the culture and the room. That is what Jacoby Brissett is to do. The other issue I would have for you. Now, I think this is stupid, but we often address stupid on here because, well, sometimes we're stupid. So
no shame in that.
Right. So you characterize Marvin Harrison as like best player available, sure star, elite receiver, generational
talent.
Can't
miss.
Okay. So why then is he the third best receiver on some people's draft board behind Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas?
Where did the, and by the way, where did all of this come from recently? Like I've noticed like yesterday, you know, I get tagged in all of these new aggregator things where, you know, like ML football, not Dove.
Oh yes. It's annoying. And you got to
know, because they want you to then reply and help and retweet it and quote post and whatnot and ding dong and twitch
blank
this.
My blank. They can blank my blank.
All right. Maybe it sounded very match game. Andy said you can blank his blank.
Fill it in how you like.
Like all this aggregate, like, and I get tagged in all these things. And now the one yesterday that was filling my timeline when I was just trying to start a dialogue with people during the Keefe show for some of the things we had as engaging call topics was, you know, like, oh, now Malik Nabers is now going to go the first receiver off the board. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the worst. I had all these people like clogging my timeline saying like, this guy would set the Patriots back. He stinks. I mean, now people say he sucks, that he's not a good receiver. Like, what are people doing? And you know what? Okay. If the Giants want number three so badly because they're afraid Minnesota is going to jump up and get McCarthy, I will gladly, if I'm the Patriots front office, I'll move back to six. I'll take the Giants second round pick and then I'll take Malik Nabers at six if Arizona wants to take Marvin Harrison Jr. And then I can trade back in for Penix and I can still grab my tackle of the future, or I can grab Troy Franklin or Xavier Leggett. Would you not, if I could tell you, you could have Xavier Leggett, Malik Nabers, and Michael Penix, would that not be more interesting than just Drake May and one of those, maybe A.D. Mitchell?
Did you say Drake May and A.D. Mitchell?
Potentially, yes.
Okay, that's my dream, because I think that dream has you in AFC contention in 3 years.
Whoa! Wow!
I think you are thought of with the who's who in the conference. If you get that specific pairing, Drake May and A.D. Mitchell, I think both have elite up. I think there's a chance A.D. Mitchell might be the best receiver in the draft when it all is said and done in 5 years. And I'm not on the Marvin Harrison crap on train, too much time, analysis, paralysis, whatever the hell we're doing.
We are definitely in analysis by paralysis season.
He's the best receiver. Take him. Like Arizona, he is a slam dunk, no think, do it again pick. But they have their quarter, for better or worse, they have their quarterback, Kyler Murray. So to me, he's the perfect pick for them. He's going to be a stud. He's going to be a pro bowler.
MHJ you're talking of, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got Larry Fitzgerald's hands, but he's got a body like Randy Moss. Like you don't see people like this. This is a faster Megatron that is coming your way.
I'm not as in all in on Megatron. I'm a step below that, but I think he'll be a Pro Bowl receiver. So don't overthink it if you're in that spot. But the Patriots are not in that spot. They don't have a quarterback. They can't pretend they have a quarterback. Nothing near a quarterback. The whole thing, they need a quarterback. And you just said, and Penix, I don't believe in. I think he's the equivalent of a longest drive contestant as opposed to a golfer. I think he can crush the hell out of the ball, but I don't think he can be the golfer that can read the greens, make the putts, the short game, the intermediate game, blah, blah, blah. His accuracy concerns me at times. I'm actually not as down on his health as a lot of people seem to be. I don't really care if he had ACLs in the past. If he's going to stand in the pocket and effing sling it the way he can, I don't really care about the ACLs. I just don't think he's an NFL caliber accuracy, intermediate, short game passer type. He can absolutely throw a beautiful ball. Like if you just want to, we've said this before. I think we said it on our Six Rings preview pod for the quarterbacks overall. If you just want to watch somebody throw the football, like throw a lawn chair down, grab a beer and watch somebody throw a football, Michael Penix is the guy. I just don't think his upside is franchise quarterback. So even though you get receipt, I'm also a little, I'm a little dubious of Neighbors. I'm not totally sold on Neighbors.
That's very interesting because now part of that sort of like aggregator storm that you and I get caught in on Twitter led to people led some to say like, well, you know, should you now be concerned about Jaden Daniels? Is there a Mac Jones thing going on? Because he was throwing to Brian Thomas and Malik Neighbors the same way that Mac Jones was throwing to Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith.
Sure. But there's also Joe Burrow was throwing to Justin Jefferson, Jamar, whoever the hell he was throwing to. Like, that's the reality of some of these programs is you're always going to be thrown to good talent. You're always going to have good talent around or defense. You know, oh, the guy went to Georgia, so he can't play defense because really it's the sum of the parts, not the individual parts. Like, no, we've seen a lot of great players come out of Georgia on defense. So I would have a little bit of that concern with Jaden Daniels. I absolutely would because I saw some poorly placed balls on occasion, slants, deep balls, underthrown, off target that will be more problematic in the NFL than they were at the college level throwing to elite talents. So yeah, I we're doing a lot of talking and we still have, good Lord, we still have a month plus 6 weeks to talk about this. I haven't moved. I want Drake May. Let me rephrase that. I want the quarterback that falls to three. And I hope the quarterback that falls to three is Drake May. If it's Jaden Daniels, I also take him.
So in his final two seasons, just because, I'm sure they won't take Penix, but just because I've been a fan for a long time, he did start every game his final 2 years. He is a six-year college player with the injuries after going through the transfer portal from Indiana to Washington. He played 28 games in his final two seasons. In 2022, he threw for 13 games, 4,641 yards, 31 tutties, and 8 picks last season, all the way up to the national championship where they were roundly beaten by the Michigan Wolverines, who were basically a professional football team in college football clothing. He threw for 4,903 yards, 36 touchdowns, and 11 picks. Yes, he also had pro level receivers in Roma Dunze. And I forget the name of the other receiver there. Who will become a pro, has some Sunday talent too, but like, I think he moves well. I think he's got pocket savvy. I think he doesn't want to extend plays to a point where he's going to get himself hurt. That arm is just something else. And I think he can throw it through the swirling. Drake May probably can too, Andy. You and I just know what those conditions are like when you're like, oh, it's 8:13 in the morning and I can't feel my face, my fingers, or my feet. How the hell is somebody going to throw a ball 35 times in this today? Mac Jones just wasn't cut out for that. Drake May probably. Michael Penix probably as well. And that matters. In Foxborough, these are the little things that we hope all of the people that are making these decisions are currently scrutinizing over and, you know, as they look to weaponize the offense.
And who said that? Weird.
Yeah, I know. The Wolf of Ball Street, who, by the way, he probably doesn't want to check the Twix right now as well because his Q rating has come down. Hey, did it bother you at all?
Maybe I'll hit all the decision makers the next few days, see if I can piss everybody in Foxborough off.
That's so funny. Here, let me just use my card to... Wow, my media card's not working at the door. This is so strange. Hello? I used to work here. Andy?
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Did it bother you the Patriots didn't, that they, I mean, KJ Osborne is fine. We have the best room of wide receiver number threes in the NFL right now, which is, again, why they need a true number one wide receiver. And it probably wasn't Calvin Ridley, though he would have made a difference. But did it bother you that they didn't even just take a $6 million flyer on Tyron Smith at left tackle and let him go to the Jets?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm not really.
Same.
I mean, this is where I'm actually confused slash concerned that they may be going down your road of trade down and all those things, because I think it's quite clear they're in this for the long haul. Whether the Crafts allow them to be it in the for the long haul, we'll see in a year or two. But I don't think there is like this need to immediately be better to win to anything. They are not treating anything with immediacy. I thought you had to leave free agency with either your number one pass catcher or your number one left tackle. And it doesn't appear you're going to be able to do that. As you said, KJ Osborne, nice, fine player, you know, blend him in on the 07 Pats and he would have been a star. He would have been like the Jabbar Gaffney with key third down catches along the way. Blend him in on the 2024 Patriots and you're like, oof, we're not very good, are we?
Is that Bourne or is that Juju or is that Osborne? Like that guy's like, they're all around the same size. Yeah, they have good enough-ish hands. No, none of them are very fast.
Didn't Mayo tell us? Wasn't it Mayo? Who was telling us like they wanted like offensive players that defenses have to scheme for and play?
Yes,
for?
game-changing speed. Well, Elliot Wolfs was weaponizing the offense, and aside from, you know, he's getting his feet held to the fire over the burnsome cash line, which he was forced to walk back, and they subsequently haven't. Although they've spent more money than you realize, it's just they've spent it retaining a lot of their own players and building a strong middle class. Again, having a utilitarian style, blue collar, strong middle class football team is fine. That means you'll probably survive a lot of games and you'll be a 7-10, 8-9 type of team in perpetuity.
Whoa. Did you say 8 wins?
Tops. Yes.
You
I said
bet
at
right
best.
Now? Can we bet right now?
At this, as currently constituted, they're not winning 8 games. I said if everything goes in your favor, you have good health from last season, don't lose a lot of players early to injured reserve, and have a decent free agent class and a decent draft, yeah, you're probably a 6-8 win team tops. If you have a strong middle class and you've got people that can hold their blocks, make tackles, break up plays, and then you surround them with a couple of stars, that's how you start winning football games, which puts so much pressure on the upcoming draft because they didn't get anybody that's a difference maker thus far in free agency.
Did you say hold their blocks or something else that rhymes with blocks?
I said hold their blocks, young man.
Yeah, I think right now I would set the line because Gerard Mayo guaranteed. This sounds really a pain in my ass.
It doesn't comply, Andy. It's so weird. Doesn't take notes.
The Gerard Mayo guaranteed they'd win more games on the Greg Hill Show. Guaranteed.
Yes, he did.
I am not sure. I think right now a fair number to set for the Patriots is 4.5 wins. Take their 4 wins last year, and do you believe they're better or worse? And if you made me pick right now at 4.5 wins, what would you take?
Right now? I'll take the over, but if you I think they win 5, maybe 6 tops.
You take the under?
Woo!
They're not as good a football team. They're a worse football team right now. And I know the draft and, you know, the old Bill Belichick line, hey, as luck would have it, we don't play a game until September and you can get snarky about roster building and all that crap. They're a worse football team right now. That's the simple reality of it. And I don't know how much better they're going to get, how much better play they're going to get out of the quarterback position. The schedule is not easy. Their last place schedule earned them a pairing with the Bengals and the Chargers. Are you better than the Bengals and the Chargers?
No, you are not. As a matter of fact,
those are your easy games. Those are your games you get because you suck. Those are we feel bad for. Those are your pity party games. Your pity party games are Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. That's how pityful you are heading into your pity party games. So, yeah, right now I would take the under.
Yeah, me no likey. And by the way, just harping a little longer on the free agency aspect of things, in addition to, at least they were aggressive in their pursuit of Calvin Ridley. It's a good sign. However, horseshoes, hand grenades, ifs, buts, candies, and nuts.
Whoa. If they were aggressive, they would have got him.
They were aggressive. I didn't say they were aggressive enough. They were aggressive, but they were not aggressive enough. But the stuff that really burns my ass is Keenan Allen is available for a fourth round. I don't care if he's 32 years old. I don't care what his salary is this year. What is cap hit, whatever. You can rework that. You can find ways to have the mega minds upstairs at one, formerly Brady Place, finesse the contract so as to make it that you can draft other people and even sign more. How you can't tell me that a veteran quarterback, a rookie quarterback, or a third year, a third stringer like Bailey Zappi doesn't have an easier existence having a surgical, precise route runner and some of the best hands in the NFL on your team like Keenan Allen. A fourth to the Bears, they just did a huge service to Caleb Williams and the forthcoming Bears offense and a disservice to the Patriots. Tyron Smith, I don't care if he's load managed and only plays 11 games. You're telling me that he can't teach whoever you draft or whoever else you find to play left tackle in the future how to play a better left tackle? Because when he's healthy, he's one of the best left tackles in all of football. Now he's going to block for Aaron Rodgers, the soon-to-be vice president of the United States down in New York. Good for them. $6.5 million. If he plays all of his games and gets $15 million, he deserves it. But $6.5 million when you have $100 million is peanuts to invest in your team. So, Andy, it kind of goes all back to the same thing to me. Can't you be entertaining and still try to win while you build for the future? It seems like these are confounding principles with our current state of executives, ownership, and talent evaluators.
So let me advocate for the devil that is Elliot Wolf. I'm going to give you a trio of names. You tell me which one you would want. Tank Dell, Puka Nacua, Keenan Allen.
I'd go with Puka Nacua.
Where was he selected?
Fifth round.
You're giving up a fourth round pick for a year of Keenan Allen. I think Elliot Wolf says, I've seen this draft class. There will be wide receivers in the fourth round that if we hit the right guy, will not be a contributing player for us for 1 year. He'll be a contributing player for us for a minimum of four when we hopefully have to decide whether we want to hand him a large sum of money to remain with the team and continue to contribute for us. I think the timeline here is important, and I've begun to accept a timeline for them that is not 2024, maybe not even 2025. It's a long-term rebuild where they're looking for stability of the franchise. And that would be my retort to that very simple specific, not Tyron Smith. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of a different beast because you could just pay him. You didn't have to lose out on anything. You could do short term, the whole thing.
Nothing.
But the trade, similar to even Justin Fields, like, hey, why not just give a pick for Fields? Well, because we don't think he's the long-term answer. We're giving up a pick that could help us be part of the long-term answer because we plan on drafting well and getting value out of second and third day picks and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think it's so weird because the 1,000% adding talent burn some cash comment made it seem like we're doing this quick. We're doing it hard and we're doing it fast. And you're like, wait, are you talking about sex or rebuild? And I think the plan, their actions are the exact opposite of that, that they're in this for the next 2 to 3 years to bring stability to this franchise. And I like the plan if it works. It just forces me to say, wait, you weren't entertaining last year. You weren't really entertaining the year before. Doesn't sound like you're going to be entertaining next year. There's a little bit lacking here in Foxborough. But I also will say, I think most people, if they watch Drake May play, you hope they're going to be optimistically entertained, like Peyton Manning year one. Yeah, he's throwing picks and he's doing dumbass stuff, but that dumbass stuff will pay off in a year when he's good. That, or Josh Allen, or whoever you want to compare him to. That's, I think, what they're going to be banking on. I think that, to me, is another reason why they're taking the quarterback. I think they're going to put all the entertainment value eggs in the fact that people will say, that's our quarterback.
And in the QB basket, right. Yeah. But that. And I agree with everything you've said, and we've won enough the team won enough for multiple lifetimes of our football reporting, discussing, and consuming enjoyment. The only thing, and this is just the game everyone has to play and we have to stick around for, is that so much of what you just said is based off of the biggest word in the English language, and yet it's still just one of the shortest ones, as Joe Namath famously said. If such a big word for only two letters, if Drake May pans out, if they can find the next Tank Dell, if they can land a Puka Nacua, if they can find their tackle of the future in the second, third, or fourth round. If. There's so much that hinges upon if. And I was just saying that for at least the time being, perhaps you can mortgage a small part of the future to provide some contemporary entertainment, as well as bring in the veterans that can help teach these guys how to be better football players for that future you are building towards. So that's sort of like a disagree to a degree type of disagree to agree type of principle there. I see exactly what you're saying. It just is for one of your portmanteaus of the wide world of six rings. It's hingent upon them finding those guys and those guys panning out. Last thing I wanted to run by you, Andy, in this excellent episode of Six Rings and Football Things. And don't forget this week, folks, there'll be another prospects preview coming with Cadillac, Hart, and Shime. There'll be a one-off Wednesday. We'll have another pod towards the end of the week as we continue to provide all the information, news, analysis, engagement, and enragement you need to keep your offseason fulfilled until, of course, April 25th when the Patriots are on the clock at the third overall pick from Detroit. Andy, as far as free agency goes, are you ready for this? According to Pro Football Focus, the AFC teams that dominated free agency are A, the Houston Texans, number one. They get a grade of A. And then there is a five-way tie for second place, all teams receiving a B+. The Steelers, the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and your New England Patriots.
What's that?
That's right.
I think you Pro broke football. Up. You said, I thought I heard Patriots, but there must have been something in between.
No, there were a bunch of other teams that got the same grade that you did. Texans had the best free agency thus far in the AFC. And then the Steelers, Bengals, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Patriots all had the second best free agency to date thus far in the American Football Conference. Your thoughts?
So is that based on re-signing Mike Onwenu and re-signing Hunter Henry? And those, like, because you can make an argument there, I guess. I mean, I could too. I think you've re-signed good players that I wanted you to re-sign. The problem is, they all were key members of a four-win football team that's picking third in the draft. It wasn't good enough to maintain, as Belichick used to say, the status is quo. The status is quo means another top five pick, unless that's what they're looking for and that's what they want.
Look at this, by the way, just and as we wrap up, I'm super curious about it as well. I'll get to this in a sec, but I agree with you. Like they held on to some of their tent poles around which they're going to try to build the team with these new draft picks. And that's great. I'd give them like a C+ thus far. Like if you just hold on to these guys, then you've got like an okay passing grade. It's not great yet. It could be great, but we're going to have to, like you just preached momentarily, we're going to have to hold on for that if factor, and we're going to have to show some patience in the face of the draft and the people that they're going to try to develop the team around and hope that the quarterback of the future works out. I like Uche on a one-year deal for $3 million base. That seems like found money to me. Onwenu, terrific. Obviously, the health last year, you lose Judon Gonzalez, John Jones part of the season. You lose Marcus Jones for the entire season. You know, I like Antonio Gibson. He could be the undervalued receiver slash third down back they've needed for years now. That's all well and good. It's just that there's no wide receiver one. There's no left tackle one. There's no QB one. And that just puts so much pressure on this upcoming draft to nail, you know, only the three most important and most high priced players on the field.
Fitzy, let me ask you a question. You have no life jacket. Your boat sank miles offshore. You can see land and you're a pretty good swimmer and you swim for 4 hours, 4 hours really hard. You're swimming straight towards land.
In open water?
Oof. Yep. Oof. And then you pause and you look around and you say, uh-oh, I've been swimming pretty damn hard for 4 hours and I don't believe I'm any closer to land. How are you feeling about your chances of survival?
Not great, Bob. Not great.
To me, that's where the Patriots are right now. They re-signed those guys. That's great. They used a lot of energy, efforts, attitude, whatever you want to fill in, and they're about ready to drown.
We're still in open water. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, oh, look, there's a six-pack of Narragansett floating in the water. I think I'm just going to sit here and drink until I get eaten by a shark.
Absolutely. And cut yourself to bleed out a little to maybe increase the speed of the process.
Come and get it. Dinner served, boys. Last thing. Actually, I'm going to watch this, Andy. I bet you will, too. This just popped up on the Twix feed here as we wrap up this episode. From Shefty, Netflix has announced its newest sports series that follows these pass catchers during the 2023-24 season. Those sneaky sons of gun. Last season, we got quarterback. The new Netflix series, Receiver, will premiere this summer. It's produced by NFL Films. You're going to get an inside look at the 2023 season of, you ready for this? Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Justin Jefferson, and Devontae Adams.
I'm in.
Oh, I am all in on that.
Absolutely. There's also, there's an interesting breadth of guys and teams and cultures and things going on there. I think that could be very, very entertaining. I'm a sucker for those kinds of things, so I'll watch.
Oh, I will watch the crap out of
it. When does that start?
That is premiering this summer on Netflix.
So, wait, it's next year?
No, no, no. They've already followed them.
So it's this year.
So when they struck out trying to recruit quarterbacks, I think they just left it at like, oh man, they didn't get enough quarterbacks, but I like last year's episode and Cousins and Mariota and Mahomes. And I guess they're not doing another episode. And then all of a sudden they sneakily produced a whole new series.
Between that and the Tyson fight, my Netflix is really starting to pay off for me.
I was going
to
say Netflix now all of a sudden is turned into like your destination for premium sports streaming. Yeah. Good on them.
That's not good. That's not good. Cause that means next step is all the games are going to be on Netflix and they're going to screw me in
the
end.
You're already paying for it. We've all heard your Peacock rant. You don't have to get back on that one. You already had it. You had no idea. You can thank.
I used my Peacock for the first time in a long time the other night. Wait, what? I watched all Oppenheimer.
Right. Oh, you did. What'd you think?
Meh. But you know what it evolved in me?
Meh.
Meh.
Andy.
And you can listen actually to the Rich Keefe show. We might explore this a little bit. A comparison that I think can be made between Oppenheimer and Bill Belichick and the dynasty. And
1,000%.
Sitting in front of the cameras and sitting in front of the board in that movie. I think there are some English class-like parallels between the two tales.
You only thought Oppenheimer was meh. That movie is a crowning achievement in cinema. I'd be very curious. I'll wait to hear. I'll listen tonight when I hear what Keefe has to say. I can see you wiggling your thumb and your nose and your fingers at me trying to give me the whole film snob thing. All right, that's enough. We have talked at long length about all the topics that matter right now in the wide world of Patriots. You can follow him at Jumbo Hart for the polls and for the Friday night pizza line arguments that you need to keep your Twitter following engaged. For the Foxborough Fanboy Madness and more, I'm at Fitzy GFY. Good job helping us produce this nonsense, Justin Turpin, and thanks to everyone. Hey, guys, continue to listen. We'll do our live pods as well as often as possible. Hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends. The best growing fan base and community in Patriots Nation is right here with Six Rings and Football Things. For everyone at WEEI, Odyssey, and 2400 Sports, he's Hart. I'm Fitzy. This has been Six Rings. Thanks for listening. Good day. God bless. F them all. And as always, go Pats.